Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady of Guadalupe, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dear brothers and sisters, on this feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Church commemorates a series of apparitions that took place at Tepeyac in Mexico, which is now in present-day Mexico City, over the days of December 9th to December 12th in the year 1531. And in these apparitions of Our Lady to the Indian Saint Juan Diego, a humble Indios of Mexico, she expressed her desire to draw people to her son at that place through the construction there of a chapel. It has been noted the beauty of and the gentleness and sweetness of the dialogue that she had with Saint Juan Diego. And I would like to read from a translation of the original account of this apparition that was written in the native language. It's been translated into English, and as best as can be translated from one language to another, here's how it would go in English. Know for sure, my dearest, littlest, and youngest son, that I am the perfect and ever virgin Holy Mary, mother of the God of truth, through whom everything lives, the Lord of all things near us, the Lord of heaven and earth. I want very much to have a little house built here for me, in which I will show him. I will exalt him and make him manifest. I will give him to the people in all my personal love, in my compassion, in my help, in my protection. Because I am truly your merciful mother, yours and of all the people who live united in this land and of all the other peoples of different ancestries, those who love me, those who seek me, those who trust in me. Here I will hear their weeping, their complaints, and heal all their sorrows, hardships, and sufferings. And to bring about what my compassionate and merciful concern is trying to achieve, you must go to the residence of the Bishop of Mexico and tell him that I sent you to show him how strongly I wish him to build me a temple here on the plain. You will report to him exactly all you have seen, admired, and what you have heard. Know for sure, I will appreciate it very much, be grateful, and reward you. And you will deserve very much the reward I will give you for your fatigue, the work, and trouble that my mission will cause you. Now, my dearest son, you have heard my breath, my word. Go now and put forth your best effort. These are very kind words explaining Our Lady's intent and desire and calling upon this very humble, simple man to be her agent, her chosen agent. As many of you may know, the Franciscans of the Immaculate, we have a community at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in La Crosse, Wisconsin, a shrine built by Cardinal Burke and entrusted, the pastoral care of which was entrusted to us. He asked us to be there and take care of this shrine. And so we're united in a special way also today with the community in La Crosse at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. where Cardinal Burke will preside over the main celebration this afternoon, or around noon. I think the Mass is at noon. And so I would like to also cite some words of Cardinal Burke in his homily that he gave on the feast day last year. He says, "By her apparition on our continent, which continues through her miraculous image on the mantle of St. Juan Diego, the Mother of God leads us to a deeper faith in the redemptive incarnation. She confirms and strengthens our faith in the coming of God, the Son, in our human flesh to free us from sin and everlasting death, and our faith in his abiding presence with us in the Church, above all, in the most blessed sacrament. In her own words, Our Lady is the Mother of God, the Mother of the God of truth, through whom everything lives. Through the divine maternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, God the Father has fulfilled the promise he made through the prophet Zechariah, the promise to dwell among us. He has stirred forth from his holy dwelling place to make his home with us in the Church. At the Annunciation, the promise was fulfilled. From that moment, God the Son incarnate, through the cooperation of the Mother of God, began his mission to call together the Church, his mystical body, and to bring her to life through his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. The Archangel Gabriel announced to Mary Immaculate, to Mary full of grace, the mission of the Divine Son she was conceiving in her womb and to whom she was consecrated in every fiber of her being. Then he cites the Gospel. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. The eternal kingdom which our Lord established by his redemptive incarnation in the womb of the Virgin Mary, which we know already now in the Church, will reach its consummation on the last day, when our Lord will restore our world and all mankind to the Father in glory, inaugurating a new heaven and a new earth." Then he goes on to cite the book of Revelations, the first reading that we heard, and remarks on the battle between Our Lady and the dragon, and how that battle manifests itself throughout all time, and in a particular way, we're so aware of this today, citing Cardinal Burke again. "We are likewise deeply conscious of the violent rejection of God's truth and love in so many aspects of the life of our society today. We witness a pervasive loss of respect for the inviolable dignity of innocent and defenseless human life. More and more, our society openly violates the integrity of the love of man and woman in the faithful, indissoluble, and procreative union of marriage. Our political leaders justify the denial of free exercise of the human conscience in its most basic tenets for the sake of obtaining so-called goods for society. These are some of the most reprehensible and frightening signs of the conflict between our Lord and Satan, which continues to rage until our Lord returns in glory. In the face of these intrinsic and most grave evils, we can give only one response. We must live our Catholic faith more fully and faithfully. At the same time, we must help others to live in accord with the law which God has written upon every human heart, the law which demands the respect for all human life, which safeguards the integrity of marriage and the family, and which refuses to contradict itself for any reason whatever. My brothers and sisters, as Cardinal Burke so eloquently and clearly reminds us, it's our duty and our calling as members of the body of Christ to work for the redemption of others. That is, to also participate in the mission of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the co-redemptrix. We too are called to give witness, to offer ourselves for the redemption of the world in this combat, this mortal combat, and one which will go on until the end of time, between the woman and her seed and the ancient serpent. It's a task which requires strength and courage, and we may not always feel that we have the necessary strength and courage, but we should take comfort and confidence from the words of Our Lady, Saint Juan Diego. Within the time that these apparitions were occurring, he too felt oppressed by the worry of his dying uncle. And at one point, he attempted to avoid meeting with Our Lady because he was preoccupied about finding a priest to hear the confession of his dying uncle. But she anticipated him and met him on the other side of the hill from where they were supposed to meet. And she said the following words of comfort to him, which we can also take to heart. "Listen, put it into your heart, my youngest and dearest son, that the thing that disturbs you, the thing that afflicts you, is nothing. Do not let your countenance, your heart, be disturbed. Do not fear the sickness of your uncle or any other sickness, nor anything that is sharp or hurtful. Am I not here, I who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not the source of your joy? Are you not in the hollow of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Do you need anything more? Let nothing else worry you, disturb you. Do not let your uncle's illness worry you, because he will not die now. You may be certain that he is already well." And in fact, she miraculously cured Saint Juan Diego's uncle. And as we all know, as a result of her apparition at Tepeyac, the work of the missionaries who were there and who hadn't made too much progress in evangelizing the peoples was completed in a brief span of time. Over the next, I believe, 10 years, more than 8 million Indios were converted to the Catholic faith. And in that instance, Our Lady crushed the head of the ancient serpent. The Aztec people there had, I believe they were Aztec, they had the practice of human sacrifice on an enormous scale. And so we take heart, too, in the present slaughter of the innocent and the practice of human sacrifice through abortion, most evidently, but in many other ways through the culture of death. And we turn to Our Lady for strength, for comfort, for courage, knowing that she is with us, that she holds us in her mantle, and she calls us to her son, to follow her son always, and to do as he commands. And so, inspired by the history of Our Lady of Guadalupe and all that happened in Tepeyac and is still happening, We continue to place our trust in Our Lady of Guadalupe, who is the patroness of the pro-life movement, and she is our mother. We thank God for all the good that He's given to us through her. All good that we have comes to us through her, principally in the birth of her son, whose memory also that birth we are preparing for in this time. May Our Lady of Guadalupe guide us through Advent to a joyous Christmas and to the triumph in our lives, her triumph over the ancient serpent. Praise be Jesus and Mary.